Yo, yo, good evening and welcome to another episode of Father's Fire. My name is Jody Cedric, and every week we get together to explore the joys, the challenges, the triumphs, the sorrows, and yes, the fun of being a dad. And I tell you, it's been absolutely insane the last couple of weeks with as much travel as I've had to do. It's been great. I'm not knocking it, but man, it is, the pace has been fast and furious, and we've been a little bit of everywhere, me and my partner Rod, and it's not slowing down. Going to be in Orlando this week for a tribute, a life memorial to my best friend's mom, who was really a second mom to me, Mama Klein. And so this week, Judy and I will be heading to the Tampa Bay area to celebrate the life of my second mom. And looking forward to connecting with my good friend Steve and his dad and Steve's beautiful wife Sylvia. And just going to spend a day or two reminiscing, probably crying a little bit, laughing a little bit, because she really was my mom away from home. And did a lot to keep me in check. So, yeah, so that's going to be this week. And then next week, I've traveled to Mexico City with my friend Rigo Santana. Also, Juan Gonzalez is going to be there. And looking forward to that. So, yeah, it's not slowing down. But I've been thinking a little bit about Mother's Day. And I did not take the time to do a podcast because I was where I should have been, and that is taking care of my beautiful wife and with my kids. And we made her, she loves breakfast, so we made her a big breakfast, and then had a barbecue steak, and my son made his famous creme brulee. I mean, it is awesome, absolutely awesome. But yeah, we just had a fantastic day, and my sister and her husband came over, so it was a nice time. Of course, you know, you got to call your mom and wish her happy Mother's Day. And now she loves the fact that one of her babies, who just happens to be me, was born on Mother's Day. Every year when I call her, she's always like, yeah, you are the best Mother's Day present ever. And so it's fun to kind of talk to my mom and reminisce, and she was telling me some stories about when we lived in Iceland and our trip over to England to be sealed in the London Temple, and the little outfit that I was wearing that she thought was so cute. So it just was a really fun day. So hopefully you had a great day with your mom, with your wife, with your aunts and uncles, your tias, and just abuelas, and just wishing them and expressing love to them and appreciation for their dedication and their love to you. And it really got me thinking about one of the things that I was thinking about when my wife was actually working, because she actually took a long lunch so that she could spend some time with us and the kids. And the kids came in from all over the place. We actually had last week all of our kids in town at least one day during the week, but some of them were leaving while others were coming, but we got to see all of our kids. So that was really fun. And of course, we got to watch the Aurora Borealis together one night. So that was super fun. So, but I was thinking Sunday when I had a little bit of time, as I was sitting outside by the barbecue grill and watching the steaks and flipping them and also grilling pineapple and asparagus, I had some time to think about kind of my experience with Judy and us having kids and my experience with my mom. So first of all, I want to give a shout out to my mom, because she raised 8 kids, 6 boys, 2 girls. And my dad was in the Navy, and we by no means were rich. My dad retired as an E-7. My mom also served in the Navy for a couple years. And she had the gift of making her budget stretch. In fact, as a kid, you could count, you would know what day of the week it was by what we were eating. And So, I mean, she just was very regimented. She didn't like to cook. And so she had her little menu, and we knew that on Monday it was spaghetti, Tuesday tacos, Thursday was sloppy joes. If my dad was cooking, it was green sloppy joes. That's a completely different story. And on Sunday it was always roast. And but yeah, I mean, you could count the days with my mom. But my mom was very frugal, and she was very disciplined, and she taught each one of us kids, whether we liked it or not, to play the piano. And I've kind of lost that talent a little bit because I haven't really kept up with it. But I remember sitting at the piano, my mom going, "Come on, you can do it. You just got to practice. Get your 30 minutes in." And she just was very patient with each one of our kids, of us kids. And it was fun. But the one thing that I was really thinking about was when I left the house. You know, like any teenager, a young adult leaving the house, you know, you go off on your own, and the first thing you want to do is test all the boundaries. And I kind of have a little bit of a rebellious and fun spirit, and so I wanted to try some things out and discover my own answers to questions and put things to the test. And I know for a fact that some of the expectations that my mom had for me and my dad as well, you know, I wasn't living up to those expectations, but my mom was this consistent anchor, this consistent mooring ball that no matter what I was doing, she was always filled with love towards me and patience and kindness. And I know sometimes I frustrated the snot out of her, but you know, I remember there was one period, a short period of my life where I wasn't quite sure where I was with my faith and kind of figuring out my own, you know, who I was and what kind of life I wanted to live. And my mom every week, my dad too, but my mom in particular would write me a letter, and she would express her love with me. She would share spiritual thoughts and insights from her experiences as a young woman, but also as a mom, and also her concerns and just, you know, being my biggest fan and trying to encourage me on to help me build a relationship with God. And so I really appreciate a lot of my personal relationship with God and my faith in God is a direct reflection of the love that my mom gave me and the love that my dad gave me. And so I'm just really appreciative of those weekly letters. And sometimes maybe they came off a little bit like she was pontificating, but even though sometimes I wasn't really ready for the message, I always felt the love that she was extending to me. And so I really appreciate that. The other thing that I thought about was, of course, my beautiful wife. I mean, I have been so blessed. We've been married 35 years. We've been together 38 years because we started dating in 86, got married in 89. And we chose to wait to have kids. We didn't have kids till almost 4 years after we'd been married. So we had a lot of time to get to know each other and spend time together and explore and work through some of Jody's idiocies, in particular in our second year of marriage, where I was really not being the best husband that I should have been or wanted to be. And but man, my wife has just been so amazing, and she's such an amazing mom. And I know that when we first decided that we were going to have children, she was really nervous about it because she was the youngest of two kids and I'm the oldest of eight. And I would try to reassure her. It's like, "All right, sweetheart, we got this. We can figure this out. You know what? I've changed diapers. I've fed babies," because in my house, my mom, you know, the oldest kids took care of the younger kids. So I've changed the cloth diapers and put on plastic pants. And, you know, we never had the disposables. So I felt pretty armed, you know, that from my experiences as the oldest child, that Judy and I could do it together. But Judy still was a little bit concerned. And you know, we had Devin when I was still in college. And, you know, I took a little bit of time off. But, man, when it came time for me to actually go back into work and back into school full time, she was a little nervous. And we had to call our good friend Stephanie Gould. Thank you, Stephanie, who came over and was with her with our new baby and helped Judy. And, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of times, and in fact, Judy shared this. She's like, you know, people often say that being a mother is natural, that it comes easy. She's like, no, it doesn't. She goes, I had to learn how to be a mom, just like we have to learn how to be a dad. Yes, we may have had experiences in our family, good or bad, with our dad or with our mother, or not even had any experience. And even if we've had good experiences, our children are unique. They have unique personalities and unique gifts and unique quirks and challenges that will really test your patience, will test your resiliency. In fact, it's kind of funny because my son Zane and his girlfriend Haley are staying with us, and they have this cute little cat, Smudge. But Smudge is a terror, and he is very single focused. And Zane sometimes feels bad because he's just into everything. He's like knocking over plants or trying to escape out of the house. And I'm like, dude, it's okay. It's just like having a kid. He goes, what do you mean? I go, you don't think you are single focus and always trying to escape or get your hands into something or try to figure something out or explore or taste or touch? And we were trying to figure out how to child-proof our house. And now we're cat-proof in our house. And all of that comes, it's a new experience, right? And one of the things that I've been very, very grateful for is that Judy and I have really worked together in trying to figure out how to be good parents, to be good partners, to walk together in unity. In fact, our kids knew that they cannot play mom against dad and dad against mom, because we would always ask, well, what did mom say or what did dad say? And the response would be, well, whatever they said goes, right? And then in the privacy of our bedroom, Judy would often come to me and go, why didn't you want them to do that? Really, it's not that big a deal. Come on, you need to give them a little bit more room to breathe. And so she was really good at checking me, but she checked me in private, right? And not in front of the kids, so that the kids didn't feel like they could divide mom and dad. So Judy and I had a united front. And I think that's really important, especially as you're parenting, that you create this unity together. And I know that can be a real challenge, especially in divorce situations where you're trying to figure out how to co-parent. And one of the things that you and your ex somehow have to figure out how to set aside your animosity, your angst, your disappointment, your feelings of just like everything was shattered because of the decision she made or you made or you both made. And sometimes you're left with all of these feelings that ripple out into your kids. And somehow you got to figure out how to put them aside and go, all right, what is good for us? What is good for our kids? How do we need to co-parent in a way that will help them work through the pain, the trauma, and the loss of having us be separated and go our different ways and create new families? Somehow you have to come together and go, look, I know we didn't work out, but somehow we have to figure out how to work together in a productive way for the good of our children. The other thing that I thought about is when you were dating, you and your future wife, your girlfriend, your fiance, you would often talk about the plans that you had for the future, what your family would look like, what you would do together, what kind of home you dreamed of, what kind of career you wanted to pursue. And you dreamed together and you looked forward together. And sometimes I think we as men, we were so busy trying to win the heart of this beautiful girl. We would come over to her house. We would have dinner with their family, or she would have dinner, and we would help clean up. We wouldn't just go into the living room and sit down. And that set an expectation in her mind, in what she saw in you, that you were willing to help, that you wanted to be a part. And somewhere along the line, we lose that. We lose that focus of having a servant-minded heart and trying to do things for our wife and with our wife to make her feel like you are a partner in the family. And I think one of the biggest challenges that I see in a lot of families is a lot of families intentionally and unintentionally sometimes develop these kind of roles that each one of you sit in. You do this, I do that, instead of going, all right, how do we work together as a couple? How do we work together for the benefit of our family, for the good of our family, for the love of our family, for the peace of our family? Instead of trying to set these expectations of you do this and I do that, and if you don't do this, then I'm disappointed, I'm frustrated. Instead of going, all right, dear, how can I help you? Just like when you were dating, you're like, what can I do to help? What can I do to show you that I am the man of your dreams, the man that will walk with you, that will encourage you, that will be your biggest fan? And I think that is such an important thing that we need to recapture as men. Somewhere along the line, we stop pursuing our wife. And if you want to recapture that love, that excitement in your marriage, you need to recommit to pursuing your wife. Just like when you were trying to win her heart, you need to continually win her heart today by being in hot pursuit of her continually. And then the other thing that I thought about was just how truly amazing the women are in my life, not only my wife, but also my beautiful daughters, my beautiful future daughter-in-laws, the girlfriends of my sons. And I just, their excitement, their tenacity, their drive, their commitment, their pursuit of excellence, their pursuit of their dreams. I just love that and have so much respect and love and admiration for them. And I think that we as men need to do a better job of encouraging them to go after those dreams, to really blossom and thrive and show us what they can become, instead of putting us our thumb on them and squashing those dreams. And sometimes it's not even in what we say, it's how we say it. And I am guilty of that. Sometimes I say things that I probably should bite my tongue and I should be more gracious and more thankful, instead of allowing the inner feeling of my heart to bubble out in the way that I act, in the way that I respond. Not necessarily in what I say, but in the way that I carry myself, the demeanor that I present, because sometimes my demeanor can be diminishing, and I need to make sure that whatever I'm doing is uplifting and motivating and inspiring. I also think that a lot of our women, a lot of our wives, they walk around with this ideal of perfection. That they need to be the perfect mom. They need to be the perfect woman. They need to be the perfect career person. They need to be the perfect caregiver. They always need to be giving and ready to serve and cook and help and do all these things, right? They have in the back of their mind this expectation that they need to be perfect in every aspect. And somehow we need to help them feel that, you know what, it's okay not to be perfect. In fact, I love your imperfections. Your imperfections are part of what makes you beautiful. So let me show you that I love you by giving you grace to move through your life. And sometimes I think, guys, that expectation of perfection is infused on them by us because we're sitting back and expecting them to do everything instead of stepping up and going, you know what? We're going to be a partner with you. We're going to walk with you. We're going to make your life easier in the family. We're going to make your life easier as a partner. And we're going to walk together as partners, as friends, as lovers, as confidants, all those things that your wife is hoping that you will be. I also want to express my love, my deep, deep admiration for my beautiful wife. I have been so blessed. She is an incredible mom. I mean, she loves our kids tenaciously, fiercely. And dude, you talk about mama bear, don't mess with her kids, right? And that comes through every aspect of her life. I mean, sometimes she will be tired and the kids will come in and she will stay up into the wee hours of the night, laughing with them and talking with them, commiserating, celebrating, doing all those things with her because she wants to be with them. And me, dude, if I get tired, for right or wrong, I excuse myself and I go to bed. But part of me is going, you know what? Judy needs this time. She needs the time with her kids. She needs to laugh with them and play with them and be with them. So part of me is honestly is letting her have time with her kids. And I'm going off and going to bed when I'm tired. And maybe there's some validity in that, but maybe sometimes I need to stay in the room and push myself past that point of tired, which often I do. But anyway, maybe I could do a little better. But I just really appreciate the woman that she is, the love that she has for our kids. So, sweetheart, I love you with all my heart. Mahal kita. And I hope all of you men have been blessed with the woman that you can walk side by side, that she truly is your friend, your companion, your biggest fan, your lover, your sweetheart, your dreamer, your compadre, all of that, you know, that you truly develop a passion and a desire to become one. I've shared this with you guys in the past, but for the last year, I've started saying, sweetheart, I love you, but I'll often add, I also love us. And there's really a beauty and a strength when you get to the point in your relationship where you can say, I love you, but I really, really love us. And I love what we've built, what we've become. And I would encourage you to build and strive to get to that level of unity and love and passion and commitment and dedication in your marriage. And if you're rebuilding a marriage, I hope you find it. I hope you find it. And really, guys, we just got to continually be in hot pursuit of the woman of our dreams and let her feel like that she is woman of our dreams. So, and I also want to thank my mom. For Mother's Day, I actually sent her my new book, But How Far Must I Go? A Journey in Faith. She called me on Sunday and she said, first of all, Jody, I want to thank you for your book. Second of all, she goes, it is really good. She goes, it is very thoughtful. It's very thought provoking. It's very kind and loving. And I can honestly say that I am very proud of this book. It took me a little longer to write than the first one, and I think it shows. But two, it's my second book, so I think I'm getting to be better expressing my thoughts. But I really wanted to convey the feeling and the sentiment that it's okay to struggle in your faith. It's okay to doubt and second guess and work through and discover and develop a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so if you haven't checked out my book, and if you're struggling with your faith, trying to figure out how you fit in your relationship with God, how you fit in your own personal journey of faith, and you're asking yourself, when does God hear my prayers? When does he answer my prayers? How far do I have to go till he hears me? And what do I need to become in the process of developing my faith? I think that you'll really enjoy this book. So go out to Amazon, check it out. But How Far Must I Go? A Journey in Faith, written by yours truly. And if you'd like a personal copy, send me an email, a DM, or send me a direct message on my via text on my cell phone. And I will tell you how you can get a personally signed copy. So anyway, thank you guys so much for tapping in. I just wanted to share a few thoughts to you and express my gratitude. Little post Mother's Day. But I thought it was important to share some of these thoughts with you guys. So anyway, I hope you're having a great day. And we will check you same time, same bat channel, just next week. Right here on Father's Fire. See ya.